right now. Going to be speaking with William Rivas Rivas. He is the campaign coordinator for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and he's speaking with us from his office in Norfolk, Virginia. I want to talk briefly about turkeys and chickens and ducks and a little bit about lamb. And but first, in transport, a lot of these animals, especially in the colder months in the Midwest, often will freeze to the sides of trucks and sometimes be crushed by the weight of how many are jammed into a truck. Can you talk about transport from...
Sure. I mean, that's something that I think most people don't ever think about. It as someone who's in animal rights, I mean, it's something that I hadn't... I mean, I was a vegetarian and vegan for a long time before I even realized how much pain and suffering there was in transport. I mean, we can all imagine, especially after what we've heard, the pain and suffering that's involved in these factory farms and then obviously in the slaughterhouses. But to go from point A to point B, to go from the factory farm to the slaughterhouse, because these factory farms, they're not killing their animals. They have these huge 18-wheelers, these semi-trucks, transport these animals to the slaughterhouses, and these slaughterhouses have to be in places where no one can see them. They're going to be in these far-off places, far off the freeway, where they're not going to be able to be seen. And rarely do we actually even see animals being transported. They're being transported these great distances without any food or water, through all weather extremes, whether it's extremely hot or very cold. And as you said, sometimes they freeze to the side of the truck. Many times they arrived crushed from being packed so tightly. Many times they arrive dead because of the arduous journey. But these animals are packed, thousands of them, onto a truck, depending on, you know, the type of animal. Obviously, cows, because they're much bigger, they're going to be stuffed as tightly as possible. But, you know, chickens and pigs, I mean, they're going to be stuffed to capacity. Again, transported without any food or water through all weather extremes until they arrive to the slaughterhouse. And it's a journey that can take, you know, several days. And these animals suffer throughout.
Let's talk about turkeys, chickens, ducks. I know there's some differences in some differences in between these, but can you address the quote poultry industry? Because many people feel, well, these birds are so stupid. They're like,
sure.
You know, and who cares? You
right.
know, basically. Can you talk about it? Why people should care?
Well, I mean, oftentimes people think that it is a healthy alternative. You know, they'll often say, you know, well, I don't eat any red meat anymore. I just eat, you know, chicken and turkey, as if it were good for their health. But it's certainly not good for their health, and it's certainly not good for the turkey. The standard turkey factories, you know, tens of thousands of turkeys are crammed into these ammonia-laden warehouses. Turkeys, as chickens, have their beaks chopped off so that they don't peck each other, because they're raised in these unnatural conditions where, you know, thousands of them will be raised in these small sheds, and so that, you know, they have no room to spread a wing, they have no room to move. Obviously, the frustration of being treated in this way, these turkeys are essentially going to go crazy. And you know, turkeys aren't stupid. Birds aren't stupid. They have unique personalities, just like dogs and cats. They're very social. If you go to an animal sanctuary, you'll actually see how turkeys they even have different tastes in music. You know, some are much more outgoing than others. Some are, you know, a bit more shy. These every single turkey has their own unique personality, and to be treated as such, you know, is truly a shame. These animals are bred so unnaturally. They're bred purposely to grow very rapidly in the chest. So many of them, before they're slaughtered, can't even walk because their legs have been unable to support their unnatural and very abnormal upper body weight. That their legs have collapsed because of this very unnatural bulking. Many of them suffer from respiratory diseases because their internal organs cannot keep up with their with how fast their how rapidly their body is growing. So turkeys definitely suffer tremendously, and before someone uses them as their centerpiece for a celebration to give thanks, we should think about how much pain and suffering is involved. Turkeys, I mean, nearly 40 million of them die for that one holiday of Thanksgiving. And with there are many humane alternatives that are much healthier for us, that we should never eat a turkey for Thanksgiving or really at any other time.
Now, PETA did an undercover investigation at a turkey farm in Minnesota. Can you talk about that? And you actually have a video that people can get very cheaply or even for free over your website, goveg.com. And can you talk about that undercover investigation and that video?
Sure. First of all of our videos we can send to you for free in whatever different format that you want, whether it's a DVD or a VHS. We can make several copies in case people want to give them to their friends. Again, they can just go to our website, PETA.org or GoVeg.com, to learn much more about it. And you can actually see all of our investigative videos at PETATV.com. But again, the type of cruelty that goes on in these turkey farms is just unbelievable, where tens of thousands of these really beautiful birds are raised in these unnatural and cramped conditions, where just walking in, you'll be knocked out by the smell of ammonia because they're being raised in their own feces. They have their beaks burned off, they're mutilated. The animals that don't grow as rapidly or that are crippled, the farmers go through, and you'll see it in our investigative footage. They're culled. This man was walking around with a metal pipe, killing the smaller animals, the ones that wouldn't be able to be slaughtered for their flesh.
And a pair of pliers too.
Yeah, exactly. Many of them have their toes cut, because when these animals are being raised either in the small cages, or they want to prevent these animals because of all the frustration of being raised so intensively, want to fight, they're going to have their beaks burned off, their toes cut. It's really a sad sight to see. Again, you can go to any animal sanctuary that has turkeys and see many of these turkeys with their beaks burned off. One thing that I want to mention that I thought was truly amazing when I found out about it is every single year there's this tradition where the President of the United States, regardless of which president it is, has a turkey pardoning ceremony. And do you know about that? They
no.
Pardon the turkey. Well, on Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving, the president pardons a turkey, and this turkey presumably will be saved and will not be slaughtered for Thanksgiving. And it's a really big deal at the White House.
How charming.
What's that?
How charming.
It really is. But one thing that it's interesting to know, first of all, there's always two turkeys that are taken to the ceremony because these animals are so unnatural. They've been raised to grow so rapidly, and they're so huge that they could have a heart attack at any moment, and it's actually happened. So they always have a backup turkey before the president does the pardoning. So in case one of them just croaks over and dies right then and there, they'll have a backup. Well, I think it was 2020 that actually did an investigation. I'm not sure exactly who it was, but someone did an investigation because these animals are sent to a sanctuary, and they wanted to see what happened to the turkey and the rest of their life. Well, the vast majority of the turkeys die within 30 to 60 days because, again, they're raised so unnaturally, they're bred to grow so rapidly that their internal organs can't keep up with their natural growth. And then many of them die. So, again, it really is a fallacy. These animals are not being pardoned. If you're eating turkey, you're paying someone to brutally abuse animals. If you're eating turkey, you're paying someone to do things to turkeys that if they were to do it to a dog or cat, they would be in jail for felony counts of animal abuse.
On your website where you did the turkey farm cruelty investigation, and the section of the website where you can order the video, there's a picture of a turkey that has like a really big bloody thing on the back of its head, and its side has a big bloody, looks like a lesion, and the wing looks like it's broken. Is this animal have a skin condition, or has it been pecked by other turkeys because of the overcrowding? What would generally cause that type of injuries?
Well, a number of things, and there are a number of different injuries that occur to these animals on these factory farms. Whether it's the other animals being, you know, pecking on them, their unnatural diet, their lack of fresh air, living in their own waste, in their own excrement, in their own feces, where many of these animals, I think, where you notice it the most is their feathers are falling off. There's just a number of reasons why these animals are suffering this, you know, these types of illnesses, but I would mostly say that it's directly linked to their natural environment, the environment that they're living in, but it's their diet, the close proximity to other turkeys or other birds, and living in their own excrement.
I imagine that chickens and ducks are treated similarly. Can you talk about chickens and ducks a little bit, and then tell me how are these birds killed?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, it's hard to kind of compare cruelty, whether it's within one animal to another, which animals suffer more. But it's chickens, perhaps, are the most abused animals on the face of the earth. More than 9 billion of them, that's 9 billion of them, are slaughtered in the United States alone. I mean, that's just a staggering number. And these animals, again, they're raised for food in these very unnatural ways. They're genetically bred to grow so large. Many of them starve to death within just inches of their food because they've been crippled, again, because their legs cannot... Their legs cannot withstand their abnormal upper body weight. Chickens, like ducks or any other animals, they're crammed into these crowded sheds with tens of thousands of other birds, where so many diseases run rampant. Heart attacks are common. They're stuffed into these small crates before they're transported, and they're transported in all weather extremes, just to arrive to the slaughterhouse, where, again, they're going to be hung upside down, have their throats slit, and many of them will go to the scalding tank while they're fully conscious. So chickens really are very, very abused, and probably the most abused animals on the face of the earth.
Now, there's been quite a controversy over foie gras, which is evidently a duck's liver that's a duck who's been unnatural. Can you talk about foie gras?
Well, actually, foie gras, the French, in French it means fatty liver, but foie gras is produced by cramming pipes down the sensitive necks of ducks and pumping their stomachs. I mean, if you can imagine this, pumping their stomachs with the equivalent of 28 pounds of spaghetti 3 times a day until their livers swell to about 8 times their normal size. I mean, it's foie gras. It's a disease, not a delicacy. I mean, these livers are so fatty. It's a disease, and we ram these pipes down the necks of these animals and pump them full of food, just so that we can enlarge their livers before we slaughter them and treat that as a delicacy. It's not a delicacy. It's really an example of so much abuse, really, for culinary entertainment.
What about lamb? Let's talk about mutton and lamb, or sheep and lambs that are killed. You don't really see or hear too much about how they're raised and slaughtered, or I know I see lamb on a lot of menus, and
I think lamb is popular in many of the, like, Middle Eastern foods. My sister is Muslim, and whenever we, you know, go to restaurants, well, I try to go to vegetarian restaurants only with her. But you'll see on the menu, you'll see lamb. And lamb is very much like veal. This is the offspring, and these animals are raised in these in such gratuitous cruelty, where they're raised, they're tied up by their neck so that they cannot walk, so that they keep their muscles very, very soft, so that when they're slaughtered, their flesh is very, very soft and anemic. I mean, a veal cow, which is just the male offspring of a cow, of a dairy cow, they're kept in these small stalls about 14 to 17 weeks. They're tied by their neck to where they cannot walk, again, so that they cannot use their muscles, so that when they're slaughtered, their flesh is very, very tender. I mean, if you can imagine not being able to move for the first 17 weeks of your life, just so that they can slaughter you for your tender flesh. I mean, it's just such gratuitous abuse, and it's something that we try to make a point to people that if they're drinking milk, especially vegetarians, but anyone who's drinking milk, you're still supporting an industry that abuses animals, because 100% of the veal industry is supported by the dairy industry.
And these are babies, baby animals, baby cows. Can you talk just for a second about veal? These animals are kept in darkness, right, to keep the meat light. They're not given any iron. They're separated from their mother at birth. Can you go into how a veal calf, just briefly, how a veal calf is treated?
Yeah, I mean, these calves, they're treated with such disrespect, as you mentioned, and in their very brief life, they're not going to feel the sun, or touch the earth, or feel any grass. Their anemic bodies are craving their proper sustenance. I mean, think about it. The dairy cow, the mother cow, makes milk for her baby. And when the baby is taken away and the milk is being sold, what are these animals being fed? They're being fed this very unnatural diet. It's essentially, I mean, probably the most reprehensible type of factory farming. These babies are separated from their mothers at birth. They're put into a very tiny pen with a slatted floor, just so that their waist can go beneath them. They're kept in darkness anywhere between 14 and 17 weeks before they're shipped off to slaughter of them. Before they're shipped off to slaughter, many of them can no longer walk because their legs are so swollen from not being able to stand, from not being able to walk, from just spending all their time on concrete. They're crammed into trucks, thousands of them, and again shipped through all weather extremes to have their short life, slaughtered. Simply for a palate preference.
I imagine lambs and baby cows are slaughtered much the same way that the adult animals are, too.
Exactly, very much the same way. I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit easier just because these animals are so much easier to handle. But again, I mean, we have to take consideration that these crates that they're kept in are just so cruel. They're designed in a way where these calves cannot even move. They can't exercise, which causes their muscles to atrophy, and this is what makes their flesh tender and white.
So does the lack of iron, which causes.
Of course,
anemia.
I mean they're anemic.
Right.
They're anemic, and that's what mm-hmm. makes this their flesh gourmet, I guess.
And briefly address the dairy industry. You already mentioned that cows have to have baby cows in order to produce milk for human consumption. So therefore, if you're consuming milk, you're supporting the veal industry. Can you talk about the dairy cows themselves? And also, I know this is a lot, I'm trying to include in one question,
no,
but also
okay.
Eggs. Eggs and milk, the
sure.
dairy industry.
Sure. Well, it's very simple. I mean, when we think about it, cows give milk for the same reasons that humans do, for their babies. And we take their babies away, and as we mentioned, we use them for veal. and we turn into, we turn these dairy cows into milk machines. We hook them up to machines, and they spend their entire life just producing milk and producing offspring so that they can keep producing milk. And they spend their entire life in these, you know, hooked to machines. They get very little exercise, if any exercise at all. They have, we take everything away from them that's natural, including we steal their offspring and sell them to the veal industry. I mean, consuming dairy products is horrible for human health, and it's a living nightmare for the cows.
The cows have often swollen udders and other health problems too, isn't that right?
Exactly, which is called mastitis. And it's just because they're being milked all day long, and they have these enormous udders. I mean, if you look at a dairy cow today, they're producing about 10 times more milk as they were just a couple years ago. And again, bovine growth hormone is used to produce to boost the milk production, and that and also affects their udders. And these udders grow so large that they can, you know, these animals can walk, and their udders become very infected, which again, that's one of the reasons why we treat them with antibiotics. And these animals, because they're giving so much milk, they're losing calcium for their from their bones, which, if you add all that together, this leads to severe pain and also you know, crippling conditions for the animals. And again, after these animals can no longer produce milk, which really their lifespan of producing milk is about 2 or 3 years, and they have a 9-month gestation period, just like humans do, and they're going to be artificially inseminated and have an offspring and continue to produce milk for 2 to 3 years, and after they're spent and can no longer produce milk, they're sent to the slaughterhouse so that their flesh can be turned into hamburger meat.
Now, and eggs, when it comes to how are egg-laying hens treated, and also in that same question, I've seen plenty of video footage of male chicks being literally thrown in the garbage. That's how they're dealt with. Can you address the whole egg?
Yeah, it's very interesting that you point that out, because most of us would never realize what happens to the male chicks. I mean, so many of them will be rendered. They'll be chopped up. They'll go back into feed for chickens or other animals as well. So much animal waste, literally the feces or dead animals, they're chopped up and fed back to animals, because it's a very efficient way to dispose of this waste, and it's a crude protein, and that's something we can talk about a little bit later if you'd like. But over 150 million hens are in the United States are being kept. Over 150 million of them, in these very intensive ways to produce eggs. They spend 4 to 6 of them crammed up in these small cages, or again, they're never going to be able to spread a wing. They essentially have about a size of a standard sheet of paper for their entire life to live on, and they spend about 18 months to 2 years producing eggs. And after they can no longer produce eggs, which lasts about 2 years, they're again sent to the slaughterhouse to be ground up into dog food or chicken soup. But again, laying hens, they have such little space. They're kept in the darkness, for about 22 hours a day, because again, that makes them lay faster. And when they're at the point where they can no longer, or their egg production drops, they're actually starved for about 2 weeks, which these animals think that they're dying. And this is called forced molting. These animals think that they're dying, and so they'll produce one more laying cycle before they're completely spent, and then they're sent to the slaughterhouse.
Wow. How many animals are killed a year in America alone?
Well, it's very hard to determine that amount, but roughly, if you look at all the figures that the industry produces themselves, and you can take that on face value, just in the United States alone, we slaughter more than 26 billion animals every single year.
26 billion?
26 billion animals.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that much.
Just in the United States. But again, that's very hard to determine because when we take in consideration fish, I mean, fish is, you know, so many people, if they can give up all sorts of types of flesh, fish is probably the last thing that they'll give up. It, you know, fish have their unique personalities and they have capacity to feel pain and suffering as well. But fish, they're not even considered individuals when they're slaughtered and when they're measured. When we take the measurement of how many of them we slaughter every single year, we don't even take in consideration of them individually. We measure them by weight. So we can tell you how many tons of fish are killed every single year, but we can't even tell you how many are killed every single year.
Right.
But yeah, 26 billion of them. I mean, it's staggering. And, I mean, if we're killing 26 billion animals in the United States, I mean, you'd think that that should be able to feed everyone in the United States, and if not the United States, you know, the entire world. But that's not true because it's just such an inefficient way to feed. I mean, and it's an environmental degradation.
You're listening to 96.3 FM or 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz, and this is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm speaking with William Rivas Rivas. He's a campaign coordinator for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and he's speaking with us from his office in Norfolk, Virginia, and we're talking about factory farming.